Okay. Last week we went through the Gemara on Gimel Amud Tov, Gimel Amud Aleph, and we discussed some of the principles of Shtaros, which we're going to be going back to. But at least we discussed a little bit the principle of Reish Lakish, Eidim Achasun Malashtar. Nasa Kamisha Nechroi. Can everybody hear me? I know the acoustics are a little more challenging in this room. Nasa Kamisha Nechroi, Dusan Abesdin, and we'll flesh out some of those topics as we go forward. Before we do that, I just want to do a tosis on the Mishnah, which is to do with the geography question of the Mishnah. And that's we're going to spend a little time on that this evening. Before that, I just wanted to mention one other comment, which Rabbi Well and I had discussed 2 weeks ago. The first tosis in the Masechta discusses the reason that we have 12 lines in the Gez. And Tosis brings two reasons. One is because Get, Gimel Tes, the Gematria is 12. And the other one has to do with the lines, if you count lines in between the different Svarim, the Chamisha Kom Shei Torah, so there are four lines in between each Sefer, and if you multiply that by three, that's 12, and you don't count Mishnah Torah. And then I tried to give an explanation what I thought the lines of the Sefer Torah, what does it have to do with the Get? And without repeating the whole explanation, basically what I was trying to suggest was that the symbol is a very powerful one. The idea is that Chamisha Kom Shei Torah are perceived in two different ways. One is in terms of individual Svarim, and the other is in terms of the totality of Chetzah Shel Torah. And that's captured by debate in the Gemara, whether or not Torah Chasuma Nitna or Torah Megillah Nitna. What I was trying to suggest was that both of these aspects are true when it comes to Torah. Namely, all the Chamisha Kom Shei Torah are combined and linked and integrated into a single whole, which is why you can have a Hekesh. Sunday I had a chance to speak a little bit about Parshas Chayisara, about Kicha Misteafron. You can have a Hekesh from Parshas Chayisara in Bereshis, you know, talking about one topic to Kiikach Ish Yisho V'Ala in Parshas Kiteitze. And that can be the basis for Kinyan Kesef B'Kiddushin. So all of Torah is one, and yet there are different themes in each Sefer. And in order to illustrate that, we have the whole Sefer Torah in one cloth, basically. You don't have separate Svarim. On the other hand, every Sefer is distinguished by four lines to differentiate one Sefer from the other. So you can have both these themes at the same time. What I was suggesting was that symbolically, the idea of a Get is to emphasize not the integration of different themes and different strengths and different motifs, but precisely the distinction and the separation. The idea that it's almost like you say every person and every marriage is a sefer, right? It's a sefer toldos ha'adam. And instead of having the incredible integrative power that you have in the Chamisha Kom Shei Torah, which is so meaningful in enhancing each part, both of these play off of each other, what I call the Mesameach Chasan Vikala and Mesameach Chasan Imakala. So when you write a get, basically what you're saying is that this particular effort completely failed. And that instead of having the integration, well, all you have is the separation, which is also why they dropped the idea of Dvarim, because really should have multiplied the four, not by three, but by four, because there are five Svarim, and therefore there are four breaks. So Tosa says Mishnah Torah is unique because Mishnah Torah is, Dvarim is unique because it's Mishnah Torah. We're not doing anything, but according to my suggestion, which again I'm speculating about, the whole idea of Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim, is the unity of these disparate parts, which is not just a recap and a summary, but by being a recap and a summary after having given due diligence to each part separately, Dvarim is a very powerful force. It's a sefer in its own right, it's its own theme by virtue of the integration that it accomplishes. So what we say, and again, is you've completely failed when it comes to the idea of sefer Dvarim, and as for Chamisha Kom Shei Torah, aside from Dvarim, all you've really done is you've accentuated the hefsekos and not the Svarim. So then afterwards we were discussing that the Gra, we just found it today in the not in the Kol Elio, but in the
Divrei Elio.
The Divrei Elio on Gittin. So he has another comment that is very much in keeping with this. He says that in all of Tanakh, you'll never find any word in which Gimel and Tes are together. That's one follows. Those letters are never combined, which is a rather remarkable thing. There are a lot of words in Tanakh. The idea being, and he says explicitly, that the idea of a get is the idea of breaking up, you know, what otherwise would be an integration or a unity. So symbolically, the name of a get, or the name for a divorce, Sefer Krisus, is a get to try to show that this this particular ideal was not realized in this case. So I think it's very much in keeping with the suggestion I made for Rav Haigon and Rav Sajiko. Okay. The Mishnah tells us that there's a requirement of the Fananachta, Fananachta. Sorry? Well, we do try to write 12 lines in a get. What's interesting is, I don't know if I discussed this last time or not, but since you bring it up, I'll mention it very, very quickly. So there are some Rishonim who say what you just said, and they say it in a very interesting way. There's a Tshuva the Rush where he says, however, lo matzinu, that the 12 lines of a get is going to be ba'akev. As if there would be a havamina, that if you didn't write exactly 12 lines in the get, that it would be ma'akev. I mean, the thought that it might, that there would be such a view, is more shocking than the conclusion that it's not. Why? Because we're dealing with style, not substance. In other words, the get, presumably, is the content, it's the transmission of the heter isha labala, it's the dissolution of the marriage. It's haret muteres, L'chol Adam, written L'shma, in a highly personalized way, etc. Why would anybody think that the style of the get would be Ma'akev? It's shocking. However, it's very fascinating to note that if you look in the back just for a minute, since you brought it up, there are several, parallel issues which are also discussed in the Rishonim. Some of them are mentioned in the Mordechai here. Not all of them, but some of them. If you look here, the Siman Aleph in the Mordechai in the back of your Gemaras, those of you who have one, is focuses on the issue of 12 lines, as we just discussed. But then, if you look at Siman Shin Tezayin, the first of the wide lines on the right side of the Mordechai in the back of the Gemara, for those of you who have Shas Gemaras, everybody have that? Shin Tezayin. Pasak the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma was one of the Balei Tosas, Rav Baruch Magensa, Talmud of the Reed. So, Pasak the Sefer HaTruma, the Ein L'Zayin Beget Osios Shel Shatnez Gatz, Kemosh Osim the Sefer Torah. In the Sefer Torah, the words Shatnez Gatz, the letters, Shatnez Gatz, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadi, receive Tagin in the Sefer Torah. So when you write a get, should you have tagin? But again, this is a kind of a shocking discussion. Ki ein l'shanos haminag, because since many gittin were not written with tagin, you shouldn't all of a sudden insist on it. Pen yotziu laz al gittin arishonim. We're worried that people say, oh, the old gittin, you know, were defective, and they'll call into question with, you know, the Gerushin, with the catastrophe that will follow, meaning there'll be questions of Eshashish and Mamzeris, etc. Then he adds, V'od, im yargil lasos tagin, eish harbe min asoprim she'im bikin lasos, v'yasu gedolos, kein makolos, v'yikalkalu osios barova mekomos. L'chein, tov, lachdol, or lahaniach, v'lazayin, v'lasos keminag. So, basically, he advises against tagin in a get. But the very discussion is surprising. Then he goes on. The Alpha Bishop Sorok Shatei Kol Os Mukefas Gvil. When you write a Sefer Torah, not only do you need Tagin, but you need Mukefas Gvil. That means that the letters cannot be connected to each other. It has to be Gvil, parchment surrounding each letter, which is a way of establishing that each letter is independent of the other letter. So what about it again? So he says you need mukefas gvil in a get, Vishunda osios hamedubakos niros kiachas o ein niros os lemish ein matchin maben ozer umaben chaverta. But for practical reasons, the vikach nogu lahafresh. Aber below tagin nikroinos. But this same reasoning doesn't apply to tagin. Tagin don't add to the substance. They're just a matter of style, and therefore it's not ma'akev. Tagin l'drosha boim amnam ribar avavram hayim medakdek kivin shelo yischayv aleim b'shabbos imyichtaveim below zion kimishpatam. This, of course, is a topic in its own right. Ksiva is one of the avos melach on Shabbos. Let's say you write without tagin. So there's a view that that's not considered proper ksiva, and it wouldn't be chayiv min haTorah. Kedusa perikapone. In Cain, lo mikri os below tagin. Apparently, the requirement of tagin is not a special requirement in Hilchos Sefer Torah, but it's a din in ksiva saos. By a matzah klasos tagin kamov sefer Torah. V'ochi yisu beperikapone. Tanan eskav lichtav asachas v'olo biyado shtayim b'chayiv. How do you try to write one letter and you end up writing two? How can that happen? Patanya potzer. Lo kasha, od boy ziune, od lo boy ziune. It's a gemara nabona that if you need, if you're making, you know, the roof, the gagin, so then, you know, if you like, by accident, you skip a little bit, you know, in the ink, so instead of looking like one letter, it ends up being two letters. V'chei matzasi, v'divrei rav, baruch mim. Again, such a kasav, tzorach hasofer, lizor, lichtov, ksiva shlema, mizuyenes, kolos v'yoz b'ziyuna, shlo l'chasa, afilu kotza, shlo osachas, kilo yekose, tfilin, u'mezuza. Now these comparisons are really, as I say, rather striking. Sefer Torah, tfilin, mezuzah, the Sefer Tshuva kasa, da'ud abone, yeshom edibar b'sefer Torah, maybe that's Dafka talking about a Sefer Torah, obamokom, but in general, Nichol Shabbos, we don't require tagin to violate the Doraisa. Vachi perusha, hod boya sofer luziune, kigom b'sefer ho Torah, hod lo boya kosin luziune. In regular case, abu idi v'idi ma'iri kasholu biyada lichto besos yoshetzrichin ziyun, etc. Okay, and it goes on. There's another discussion in the Rishonim about sirtuk. Sirtuk means you make a line. Again, part of when you write Sefer Torah and also Megillah, and a question about mezuzah and tefillin, but maybe we'll get to it later. Actually, in Gittin, you require sirtuk. It's also part of the formal ksiva of a Sefer Torah. So there are Rishonim who say lechatchila you require in the 12 lines of the get you require sirtut as well, but the b'dieved you have similar discussion in the Rishonim. But the b'dieved the sirtut is not going to be ma'akev. Why would you think that it is? In other words, the point I'm trying to make is there are really two issues here. One issue is to evaluate these added requirements and to assess them. Are they dinim in ksiva? Or are they the particular halakas of ksivas kisvei hakodesh, let's say? That's point number one. But even if there is a din of ksiva, and certainly if it's a din of ksivas, formal ksiva in terms of kisvei hakodesh, should it really apply to a get? Isn't get more about the result than the act? On the one hand, the Torah says the kosav la sefer krisus. There's a din of ksiva, the ksiva has to be lishma. To what extent are we serious about the action, the ma'isa ksiva, being important, or is it producing a ksav of lishma? For example, there's another discussion in the Gemara about chok tochos and chok yirechos. Which means, what if you don't write, but you like hollow out, or you do the background work around the os, so that an os ends up kind of in a tasa v'lomen osui, kind of, or an osui v'lomen the lotasa kind of a way. You don't actually write the letter. You do everything in the background, so that a letter emerges. So there's a question in Ksiva Sefer Torah, in Hilchos Shabbos is such a question, the Ran in Ran of the Rajba and Perikapona discuss this, and what about in a get? Meaning, is there a bit of Maisa Ksiva, or even Chetz Shel Ksav, or is it the communication, as long as it's Lishma, that's important? This is the question. Rabbeinu Tam has another interesting issue. Rabbeinu Tam was asked, what happens if a divorce takes place and the husband is a meshuva? He became a meshuva. Maybe that's the reason for the divorce. Last year we spoke a lot and we learned chulin about the status of meshuva. So are you allowed to, the Rebbeinu Tam was asked, are you allowed to write the name of the Meshumad? He now calls himself, some Meshumad-esque, name. So is it proper to write that name in a get? I mean, it's his best identification now. But on the other hand, this is a religious document. Should you be writing such a name in a get? And Rebbeinu Tam prefers that you don't write the name of the Meshumad in a get. Another Rishonim disagree, but it's a discussion. Point is, to what extent is a get viewed as a religious document, a kind of, not Dover Shavikdusha exactly, but a formally crafted document, and then all these questions like Ksav Ashuri is another issue that we showed and discussed. Right, if in Hilchos Shabbos you have to write Dafka Ksav Ashuri, which is a view of the Or Zeruah, so do you have to also write Ksav Ashuri in a get? These are, again, discussions that are a bit surprising, but what they all reflect is the formality and the, the link between Ksivas, Davar Shebekdusha, or Kisvei HaKodesh, formal Ksav, and Gerushin. So you're absolutely right. We pass the Yud Beis Shuros are not Makev, but the Rishonim actually take them very seriously, and they feel that they have to preclude the conclusion that they might actually be Makev, because the Tsuras HaGet apparently is something that is viewed in a significant way. Again, this may also differentiate Get from Shtar, an issue that we pointed out. Again, the first Tosfos of the Perek mentions, the linguistic question of Get. We discussed that already, and we noted that this is a big issue. To what extent is Get paradigmatic or part of all Shtaros, or is Get a different kind of a contract? That's the next topic that we're going to do after the topic we do right now. So again, the question of how it's prepared, the formal writing, the linkage to Kisvei, Stam, all of these issues would be part of that discussion, in addition to things that I already mentioned, like the fact that the get directly addresses the Isha, it's Hareat Muteres L'chol Adam, as opposed to Shtaros, which are in third person, and some of the other distinctions that we make. Okay. Before we get to that, one other topic, and that is the boundaries of the Mishnah. As we already noted, the Mishnah says that when the get takes place in Chutz Laaretz, in Medina Sayam, there's a requirement of Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechta. And then the Mishnah goes on to draw boundaries. What is Medina Sayam, and what is Eretz Yisrael? So again, a maybe get Medina Sayam, Tzorosham, Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechta. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Afa Mevi, Min HaRekem, Min HaCheger, Rabbi Lazar says, Afilu Mikfar Ludim Lelud, Chachom Einu Tzarech, and so on. Then towards the end of the Mishnah, we have again Rabbi Yudah Omer, Mirekem Lemizrach, Mirekem Kemizrach, Miashkel Medarom, Miashkel Kedarom, Miakol Etzafon, Miakol Ketzafon. Rabbi Meir says Akol Keretz Yisrael Legitim. So there's a discussion in the Mishnah about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael Leinyan not having the otherwise universal requirement of Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechta. So the Baalei Tosfos here are bothered by the consistency of these boundaries with reports elsewhere about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. This is bound to happen. Right, the Mishnah spells out the Gvulos, the boundaries. Do they conform with what we know from Tanakh and other sources about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? If they don't, then why the discrepancy? How can it be justified? So this is a long Tosfos here, which I want to go through quickly, and I want to speak a little bit about this issue. But Ashkelon Kedaro. Picture of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody see the big Tosfos, the Ashkelon. Picture of Eretz Yisrael. The Ashkelon Me'eretz Yisrael. Again, when the Mishnah says Ashkelon Kedarom, it's saying Ashkelon is considered, the southern boundary, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Ashkelon, you're required Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtam. If you're, further inland, then you don't. So what's the implication? Ashkelon is outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rebbeinu Tam asked, Ashkelon, Eretz Yisrael. How can this be? Ashkelon is part of Eretz Yisrael. How do you know? It's the Yehoshua. It's a pasuk in Yehoshua. Zos ha'aretz ha'nisheres ha'ashdodi v'ha'eshkeloni uksiv hi'pila li'Yisrael v'nachala kasher tzivisicha. So Ashkelon is mentioned in Yehoshua, and it's mentioned as a portion which is part of the heritage of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael. Yachrei Chayin Lagdua. And then he even mentions, not only was it, you know, Miwah, destined to be part of Eretz Yisrael, but it was actually conquered and integrated into Eretz Yisrael. Kedusit v'shoftim, right? Yehoshua is the plan, and Shoftim was the implementation. Yilkod Yehuda es Aza, es Ashkelon, v'es Gibula. So Ashkelon is part of Eretz Yisrael. How can the Mishnah here say that the B'fanei Nechtam in Ashkelon is against Psukim in Tanakh? For Amar Avinu Tam, this will be familiar to those of you who were here last year when we learned Chulin. Amar Avinu Tam, the Ole Bavel Lo Kivshua. The boundaries that are mentioned in Tanakh all refer to the Kibush of Yehoshua, which was Kedushas Haaretz HaRishona. But the boundaries of the Mishnah, which of course are written, you know, centuries later, and they refer not to the boundaries of Yehoshua, but to the boundaries of Ezra. Kedomer Perakam of the Chulin, the Gemara that we learned last year, David Beit Shan, right? The Gemara says that Rebbe ate a Yerek in Beit Shan. Remember, it was a big stir. How can he eat a vegetable in Beit Shan? Meaning, he ate it without being mafresh Trumos and Maestros. We discussed it last year. But, Trumos and Maestros and Tamai, etc. So, the Gemara asked, what do you mean? Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Tanakh includes Beit Shan. So the Gemara says, Harbe Krochim Kivshum Ole Mitzrayim Velo Kivshum Ole Baba. When Ezra returned to Eretz Yisrael, he returned in a more limited geographic location. Not all of the original borders were incorporated in Ezra's resettlement. Beit Shan was excluded, and now Tosfos is saying, obviously, based on the Mishnah, also Ashkelon was excluded. Ulekach, Ein Tamid Chachamim Mitzuyim Sham, the Ein Batei Dinim Kvuim Sham. Why does Tosfos add this point? We're not talking about Trumas and Maestros in our Mishnah. We're talking about the requirements of the Tfanei Nechtam, Tfanei Nechtam. We already read the Gemara through Gimel Amin Aleph. Why do you require Tfanei Nechtam, Tfanei Nechtam? Either because of Bikiyin Lishma, the expertise of the Sofrim in a Makom Torah like Eretz Yisrael, where we can rely on them for Lishma, or because the Moshichi Shayaros, right outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're always worried about tracking down the Edim if we want to verify the signatures and validate the contract. But in Eretz Yisrael, right, where free movement and it's basically one community, it's not a problem. So we don't really care, why do we care about the boundaries of either Mitzrayim or Babel? Or either Ezra or Yehoshua. So that's why Tosfos says, the Talmidei Chachamim are Mitzuyin Sham, in the Ezra boundaries. That was the focal point, the capital of resettlement. The Ein Batei Dinim Kvuim Sham. Outside of Ezra's area, the Talmidei Chachamim were not to be found, and Batei Dinim Kvuim were not to be found. And therefore, there's a requirement of B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtav. Aval Kasha, says Tosfos. That doesn't answer all of the discrepancies in the Mishnah. You see how rigorous the Rishonim were, and you'll see in a moment not just how rigorous they were, but how seriously they took these kind of issues. They came to certain very practical conclusions without having a Masorah about the map of Eretz Yisrael, simply based on the analysis of the sources. And you'll see some of the conclusions seem a little radical. Abakasha, Derek and Becheger, Mashma Hakadah Bechutzlaretz, because they too are the boundaries which require B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Uksiv Yehoshua Vayikadshu Es Kedesh Bahar Naphtali. The Lake of the Name of the Lok Yeshua Le Bavel. Here you can't give the same answer that the boundaries of Yehoshua are Ole Mitzrayim and the boundaries of the Mishnah are Ole Bavel, because the Besifrei, the Parshas Vahaya Ekev Chashiv Rekam Mecheger Vahadi Krochim Shekivshu Ole Bavel. There they report that Rechem and Cheger are in Ezra's resettlement. If these places are in the resettled area of Ezra, why are they excluded from Eretz Yisrael and require B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam? So Tosfos says, V'yishlomar, the Trei Rechem v'Cheger Habu. Now again, as far as I know, there was no Masorah in the Bali Tosfos that there were two Rechem and Chegers. Now, the truth is that sometimes you find this in a country. Travel the breadth of the United States, you'll see there are the cities that repeat themselves. The streets repeat themselves. Some of the cities in different states repeat themselves. It's not such an unusual phenomenon. But still, it's not that the Bali tells us how to Mesorah. The stira between Makoros led them to conclude that Rechem and Cheger, right, there are two of them. But also Rechem and Cheger, the Siv Gabi Avro, then they started looking back into the Psukim, and they saw that there was confirmation for this in analyzing some of the Psukim. It's just fascinating how they work. The Siv Gabi Avram, the Rechem and the Cheger referred to by Avram Avinu. Where does it say Rechem and the Cheger by Avram Avinu? Only if you learn Shnayim Mikrav Yachad Targum literally. Targum, Unklus. Right? What is Rechem the Cheger? Vayos Vayesha Bein Kedesh Ubein Shur. So Unkla says, "Mitargeminan bein Rechem ubein Chegra," right? The Arzo shall Avimelech Melech Plishtim. That's part of Avimelech's territory, right? Avram Avinu had to go to Avimelech's territory in the famine, as we read in the parsha. The Osahay of Eretz Yisrael to Mestama the Avram Yitzchak Koyudarim Eretz Yisrael. He didn't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Avimelech Melech Plishtim. Only when he went to Mitzrayim. So the Rechem and the Cheger, which is associated with the Plishtim, is in the western part of Eretz Yisrael. The Rechem and the Cheger, the Masnisin, Hoya b'Mizrach, Kedarmina Rechem, Kedizrach. So it's a different Rechem. Again, what forced the conclusion was the Stira. Then, the Bali Tosfos clearly looked back at the Psukim under a microscope. It's just a fascinating process. And they noticed that, the Unklus, the Targum, links these places to the western part of Eretz Yisrael. That's why they concluded, there must be a Rechem and a Cheger in both parts of Eretz Yisrael. Then comes Akko. The Akko, Aplagav the Kitshu Olebab, again in our Mishnah, Akko also seems to be outside of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. But we know that it was captured by Ezra and Ole Babel. How do we know this? This is fascinating. Kedomer b'sof k'subas, Rav Abba hava menashe kipi de Akko. Rav Abba used to kiss the stones of Akko. What does that prove? That is Eretz Yisrael. Why would he be so affectionate about the stones of Akko? And I always like to remind people of, before Terminal 3, when, we used to come into Eretz Yisrael and we had to go on that bus. So in the early days, at least, and people didn't take it for granted. People used to, kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael when they came in. Lud. So his plane used to land in Akko, and he used to kiss the Kipe de Akko. Okay. With Perek Mishach, though, Parich, the Gemara there has another discussion. Remember, the Akko lav Eretz Yisrael hava. Again, you can see the Tosfos is mining Shas and Tanakh for references to these places to see if it all conforms. Can't get away with anything. So the Gemara there says Akko is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Miftir Rabbanim Me'adadi, the Akko of the Miftir Me'adadi. When the Rabbanim used to part one from the other, because when they used to take leave of each other. So the local Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael would be Malave, the ones who were leaving, and they'd only go till Akko. They'd say goodbye in Akko. Why? Because they didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. Right? Lefisha also lasis Eretz Yisrael. L'chutz l'aretz. So what do we see? That Akko, so the Gemara, this is very important. The Gemara, the Tosfos, I'm sorry, brings two proofs that Akko is part of Eretz Yisrael. One, kissing the stones of Akko. Two, the Isur Lotzeis, Meretz Yisrael L'chutz L'aretz, right, beyond, was only beyond Akko. That proves that Ezra resettled Akko. Keep that in mind, because we're going to get back to that in the Ramban in just a minute. So what do? We have a Stira, our Mishnah says Akko is outside of Eretz Yisrael, and yet these two sources, kissing the ground, and the Isur Lotzeis L'chutz L'aretz, has Akko inside the boundaries. Well, it's hard to say there are two Akkos. Akko's too famous. If you can't say there are two Akkos, what are you going to say? Half and half. Exactly. So that's what Tosa says. Omer Binu Tam, the Lokosha Midi. The Akko is a Chetzia Ba'aretz, the Chetzia Bechutzlaretz. Akko is on the boundary. Half of it is inside Eretz Yisrael, and half of it is out. Kidemukach Mirushalmi, then he found the Yerushalmi actually has that idea. Ba'achemayri Ba'osasad Shebechutzlaretz. Here we're talking about the outer Akko. When the Gemara there talks about, isn't Akko inside of Eretz Yisrael after all? Why did they say, oh, this happened, that happened? The answer is, in Perek Mishachsim, the Sneesim, the Globasim, the Kadba, Lamed Yom, the Vigil, the Akko, the people said, if I don't make it back to Eretz Yisrael, you know, the get should be Ka. And he only made it back to Akko. So why don't they say, yeah, that's the, you know, that's the half of Akko that we're interested in. Because of people tonight, Haina losa sad shebechutz laaretz. Haina mishum. Why don't they answer that? The biyotze may Eretz Yisrael pogeya tchila baosat sad shel Eretz Yisrael. If you're starting from the outside, then the first thing you hit is the chutz laaretz akko. But if you're starting from the inside, the first akko that you hit is the inside akko. So that wouldn't be a good answer to that gemara. But in Akanami, there are two akkos: one inside, one outside. The yigiel akko, mashma the tchilas akko, akashulari. Later on, the Gemara says that Rabbi Loi came and said, Kfar Sisai is in Chutz Laaretz. That's a village. But it's Muvla B'tchum Eretz Yisrael, Ukrova L'tzipori Yosa Me'akal. Even though it's on the outside of the boundary, it's, the boundary is sufficiently curved, that's actually closer to the said Tzipori, was a big center. If you go even today, if you go to the, to the Galil, Tzipori is a, it's a big city in the time of the Mishnah. And so they said, listen, Kfar Sisai is actually closer to Tzipori, even though it's in Chutz Laaretz, than Akko is. Right? Mulavakas says Tosis. That Gemara is now difficult. Because Mikamokam Akko Adifa Avabishirukokam Tzipori She Atma Chetzim Eretz Yisrael. If Akko was in Chutz Laaretz, right? So you can ask, well, isn't Kfar Sisai a closer, edge of the border? But Akko is half in Eretz Yisrael, according to what we're saying now. So Tosis vote, Hechidiek Lekaman Demokravdalasri Yatzalacheiros. The Gemara later says that if you sell your Eved to Surya, the rule is like this. If you have an Eved, the Eved Knani has obligations of mitzvahs. Right? Very similar to that of an Isha, Lola Miisha, that Pater Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, but he's obligated in Lavin. So the rule is if you have an Eved in Eretz Yisrael, you sell him to Chutz Laaretz, he might be Yotzel Cherus, because you derogated his spiritual opportunities. So if you sell him to Surya, then Mocher Abdullah Surya Yotzel Cherus also. The Gemara, what's the Raya? Miditzan, Akko Keretz Yisrael LeGittin. LeGittin in LaBadim Lo. Kolshkin Surya Demarachka Tuva. Right? If Akko is a problem, then certainly Surya is a problem. That's what the Gemara says.
Surya is a Kibbishah.
So Tosa says, Adraba, Surya Dipa. How can you say that Surya is worse? I mean, it's less Eretz Yisrael than Akko. How can you say that? Half of Akko is Chutz Laaretz. And Surya depends on a debate later on in the Gemara called whether Kibush Yachid Shnei Kibush or not, which basically means that David HaMelech, there are different explanations why it's Kibush Yachid. Let's take one. David HaMelech conquered Surya before he conquered the original boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And he wasn't supposed to do that. So, as a result, it's called Kibush Yachid, and the Gemara has a debate whether Kibush Yachid, Shmei Kibush, or Lo Shmei Kibush with regard to Trumos and Maestros. That's why Surya has a very unique status in Halacha. So, Tosas is saying, if half of Akko was in Chutz Laaretz, and if you hold Kibush Yachid, Shmei Kibush, the Surya is Eretz Yisrael, so Surya is superior to half of Akko. So why is the Gemara saying Surya is worse than Akko? Kibin the Masis and Ayur, B'tzad Shel Chutz Laaretz, the Kasavar Kibush Yachid, Shmei Kibush, the Havahi Atzma, Eretz Yisrael. Surya could be Eretz Yisrael. The Lachad Niboyla Yav Mocha Abdo Eretz Yisrael Kivin Deshmei Kibush. Oh Dilma Kivin the Afra Tamei Kechutz Laaretz Ami, which does not store the sure the status of Surya. So it's very difficult to explain, for several reasons, that half of Akko is Dafka Chutz Laaretz and half of it is completely Eretz Yisrael. So what do we do with our Mishnah then? We're back to square one. The Tosfos says, Amari, Hafila b'tzad shel Eretz Yisrael, tzorach lefanu lefanu nechta lefanu nechtam, lefishu b'sof hagvul, v'rachak me'ikar yishuv Eretz Yisrael, hu muflag b'na yeshivos, hu batei dinim. Tosfos says, you know what? The whole, till this point in Tosfos, we've read quite a few lines, it's a long Tosfos. Until this point in Tosfos, we've been operating with a single assumption, which is that the boundaries with regard to Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechtam are the boundaries of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. If not in the time of Yoshua, then in the time of Ezra. And that assumption is incorrect because all we really are interested in is the practical feature of Batei Dinim Kruim Bikios HaSofrim Meshayaros Mitsuyos. We're interested in the practical issues of the Panei Nechta, Panei Nechtam, not in the legal formal status of Eretz Yisrael. Once you say that, says Tosfos, the Chen Yesh L'Taretz, Gabi Ashkelon, Gabi Rechem V'Cheger, it's no longer necessary to conclude that there are two Ashkelons and two Rechems and two Chegers. Maybe there is and maybe there isn't. Right? But at least we're not forced based on the sources because we're now suggesting that the Panei Nechtam, while roughly speaking, right, depends on Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't technically and formally depend on Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you could have places which are Eretz Yisrael and yet require the Panei Nechtam, Panei Nechtam. The Ashtar Parashapir, Kfar Sitzai, the Kar of Lutzipori, Shai Sahikar Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Tvei Me'akko, the Rachak Mikar Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What do we ask? The Gemara said, maybe Kfar Sitzai should be, treated like Eretz Yisrael, even though it's Chutz La'aretz, more than Akko. How could that be? Akko is half in Eretz Yisrael. The answer is yes, because we're not interested in Trumas and Isras. We're interested in the Fanei Nechta, the Fanei Nechta. I forgot Akko, we have some Eretz Yisrael. Kfar Sisoi Chutz La'aretz, Mikol Makom, Poshut, Shapir, Kivin Akimle, the Mublas, Mahani Kiu Mamish, Eretz Yisrael, Karab Gamliel, Tomer Mublo, Shchichi, Ugmiri, etc. And then Tosfos continues with this idea. So far, what do we have in this Tosfos then? Two things. Tosfos' question is based on the assumption that the boundaries of the Panei Nechta and Panei Nechtam are formal boundaries of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's one daya in Tosfos. That's the assumption of the question. The answer to that is to re-examine the boundaries in light of Tanakh, in light of the Mitzhalacha, in light of the Yerushalmi, to see whether or not everything cannot be consistent and conform. That's the first perspective in Tosfos. That leads us to conclude there's more than one Ashkelon, there's more than one Chega, there's more than one Rechem, Akko is split into two, etc. And then you have the second day of Tosfos which says, the Panei Nechtam doesn't actually depend on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, it only depends on the factors of life in the center of the Jewish people, namely, Batei Dinim, Kvurim, Yeshivos, etc. Those are 2 days of Tosfos. If you look at the Ramban, which we have in our sheets, so we also find 2 days there. The first day of the Ramban combines the first 2 days of our Tosfos. The second day of the Ramban provides an important yisod that we've encountered before, we mentioned it last year, and I want to pursue it just a little bit more again. The Ramban, the first page of the sheets that we have, Not the new ones, still, where's it, number 2? Me'ashkelon says, Kedush Ramban, second kitten, base on Dalet. Me'ashkelon Ledoro. Everybody have it? It starts with Ramban. This is set number 2. Okay. So, Avzu Kasha, Ramban asks. Shari Ashkelon, may Eretz Yisrael haya? Same question as Tosfos. And then the Ramban, like Tosfos, tries to navigate the evidence. Now skip down 3-6 to the 6th line. Okay, 6 lines down. Tosfos says, Ikam Neymar. Everybody have that? Three words into the sixth line. Everybody have it? Ikam Neymar. Sviralu Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita Vikitchel Yasid Labo. Lefikach Hoysa Chaviva Aleyem. Habal. Leinyan Gitin. Kivin Shalok Kivshum. Einam Vikim Lishma Vala Matsuyin Lekaimad Lo Shrichu Batidin. The first answer to Ramban is a combination, ironically, of the two answers of Tosis. But Ramban says as follows. The Mandamar, the Mishnah, holds that the kibush of Yoshua was never batel, which is not the normal psak. When Yoshua was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, it was kitzel l'shaita, the kitzel l'yasad rabba. So it means that more expanded boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, achayet trumas maitzras, continue to be. And that's why he was Menashe kipi de'ako, and that's why when it came to the problem of the Isser Lotzeis, the Eretz Yisrael L'chutz Laretz, they never went beyond the borders of Akko, but they went within Akko. Because this is the man Omar holds, that Kibush Yoshua is still Chai V'Kai. However, the Fanei Nechtam, does not depend on Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What does it depend on? Bateidinim Kvuim. But instead of saying what Tosafot says in the second day, therefore we don't even care about the boundaries of Ezra, what Ramban says is, even though we paskin the boundaries of Yoshua, the actual resettlement of Ezra is what's koveya from Farei Nechtam. So the Ramban combines both answers of Tosafot. Like the first answer of Tosafot, the Ramban says that the boundaries conform with Ezra. Like the second day of Tosafot, the Ramban says, B'farei Nechtam is not contingent upon Kedushas Karka Shel Eretz Yisrael. So it's a third answer combining the two perspectives of Tosafos. The Ramban gives a second answer, which is far more important. Inami Svira Lehu.
When did we ever say that it was Tolei Kedushas Karka Eretz Yisrael?
Well, the question is all based on that assumption.
It's based on Eretz Yisrael.
And that it's based on the Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. Because they're talking about Yoshua.
Right.
They're talking about Ezra. Yoshua and Ezra are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael.
But the Mishnah, you don't see...
Well, that's, the Mishnah doesn't say anything one way or another. The Mishnah is the boundaries. But Tosafot and the first day of the Ramban, trying to navigate, you know, between the evidence in Tanakh and other Gemaras and the Mishnah, they're making that assumption. The Ramban is going to challenge that assumption in a different way. So the Ramban says the following: Inami Sviralu Lo Kitchel Yasid Lavo Linyan Trumas Maestros Chaviva Alayu Da'ika Da'amri Kedusha Shlishis Yesh Lahem Yalapikin Eretz Yisrael B'chibasa Hiyomedes U'biktushasa Le'inyan Yishibasa V'dirasa. Okay, what does he mean? There's several important things. Ramban says, what was the evidence? What was the problematic evidence about Akko? Two things. Right? They were Menashe Kipid Akko. They kissed the stones of Akko. Obviously that means it has Kedusha. Right? And the Chachamim refused to go beyond Akko when they were being Malave, when they were accompanying people to Chutz Laretz, because they didn't want to step outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we see from the Isser Lotzeis Meha'aretz the Chutz Laretz, and from the Chiba shown through Menashe Kipi, that Akko is part of Eretz Yisrael. And if Akko is part of Eretz Yisrael, how could our Mishnah say that you say before the Nechta, before the Nechta, I'm an Akko, and it's Chutz Laretz, that's the problem. So the Ramban says, who says that kissing the ground of Akko, or the Isser Lotzeis Meha'aretz Yisrael the Chutz Laretz, who says that depends on Kedushas Karka Shel Eretz Yisrael in Trumas Maestros? Right? Maybe that's exactly what he says. Inami Sviralu Lo Kitchali Asad Yavam in Trumas Maestros. One more time. When it comes to Trumas Maestros, we go by the boundaries of Ezra. And maybe Akko is not included in those boundaries. But if the Kedushas Karka, Daraisa, Pershmita, and Trumos, right, and Bikurim, and Chala, if those boundaries determine, and Akko is outside of those boundaries, why are we kissing the stones? And why is there an Isur Lases Me'eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz? Ramban says, because there are two completely different dinim here. One is Kedushas Karka Shel Eretz Yisrael, the soil of Eretz Yisrael. And the other is the concept of what Ramban calls Chibas Eretz Yisrael. And the raya that he brings is sensational. He says, what will happen, what will you say, according to the Mandal Maharusa, then there's a debate in the Gemara about the Kedusha of Yeshua, whether it was permanent. There's another debate in the Gemara, assuming that Yeshua's Kedusha was not permanent, was Ezra's Kedusha permanent? Kedusha Shnia, Kitchel Shait of the Kitchel Yasid Lava or not? That too is a debate. And there's a Mandal Maru holds that neither of these Kedushas were permanent. The Chorban Bayis Rishon wiped out Kedushas Yehoshua. Chorban Bayis Sheni wiped out Kedushas Ezra. Where will Kedusha come from? Bayis Shlishi. Until Bayis Shlishi, there's no Trumas Maisus Doraisa, there's no Kedushas Karka Eretz Yisrael. Many people hold that. We just came off of a Shnasa Shmita, and there was so much discussion about Hetzel Mechira. I recall last year I even gave Shira on the topic on one of the nights.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Okay, very good. So one of the things we discussed was this question, right? Is Kedushas Karka Doraisa Bizmanenu or not? Right? But the view of many Rishonim is no. So the Ramban says an amazing thing. Ramban says, according to the Mandamar, which is, again, not a particularly Shitas Yachid either, the Kedusha Rishona and Shni are Batel. So is there no Chibas Aretz? Bizmanenu? There's no Trumas Amaisu Saraisa. Is there no Chibas Aretz? No place which deserves Menashek Kipidara? Now, if I ask you this question, so, you know, the skeptical among you might say there probably is no place. There's no obligation to kiss the stones of Eretz Yisrael Bizmanenu if there's no Kedushas Karka at all. Or, let's say the second question. Is there an Iser Latzeis Menaretz L'chutz La'aretz if you hold that Kedusha Rishona and Shni are both Betela? So one might say, somebody with less conviction than the Ramban about this issue, prove it to me. We know that there is such an idea. As far as we know, it's connected to the idea of Kedushas Karka Daraisa. No Kedushas Karka Daraisa. We'll have to wait till Bayis Shlishi, until we again have good reason to be kissing the ground or prohibiting people under certain conditions from leaving Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban,
the Haskalah for Bayis Shlishi is not.
Well, that's a nice thing to say, but I mean, you know, a cult of the Gula.